Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
I have a special treat for everyone on House of L today. The homie Carmen Vitale has decided that she is going to come and hang out again on House of L, and I am grateful for that. Thank you very much for being on the show. I appreciate it. I also enjoyed our off-camera conversation of our Arizona State football connections. That's pretty awesome.
It's so funny. The world is so small. Shout out John Wren.
I don't even know
if he like remembers me, but I worked for the media relations office in college, and all I wanted to do was work with football. So I worked my way up to do that. Worked with the team for years and years while I was in school. And John Wren was there at that time, which is so funny.
HF legend, Arizona high school football legend, and played a huge role in me working at the Score, strangely enough. Like, that's another story for another time. But yeah, that's wild. Like, the connections are really, really wild. First of all, you continue to do a great job on Fox Sports. It's always a pleasure when you do something inside of the Chicago football atmosphere, which you can imagine right now, things are not great with the way things are going with the Bears. Before we talk specifically about the Bears, I've had this question on my mind for a couple of days, and you're the perfect person to answer it because you cover the entire NFC North. Are we talking enough about the coaching job that Kevin O'Connell has done the last 2 years in Minneapolis?
No, we're not. And honestly, I use any chance I get when I have to when I talk about the Minnesota Vikings or, you know, any chance I get, I try to shout Kevin O'Connell's name from the mountaintop because I am just so continually so impressed by the job that he's done. He is a first-time head coach in Minnesota. This is his first head coaching gig. And when you consider that and how much he has this team behind him and the staff that he's assembled, it's incredible. And the way that he has developed his quarterbacks, I was so thrilled when they ended up taking J.J. McCarthy, because here's a guy that's really green coming out of college because he didn't have a whole lot of experience and reps. There was a run-first offense at Michigan. He had a lot of stuff that he needed to work on and be developed. He couldn't just go anywhere in the league. We know how much how development takes a back seat in the NFL, even as, you know, especially with these first-round quarterbacks, because they're expected to produce right away. Knowing that he was going to go to Minnesota, knowing that they had Sam Darnold in place, but more so knowing that Kevin O'Connell was going to be his coach, that made me so excited because I was like, this is a guy that's going to get off on the right foot in the NFL. I just know it. And then you see the job that Kevin O'Connell has done with Sam Darnold. It's incredible. You realize how much coaching matters and how much these situations matter initially when these guys get into the league. And that's the story of Sam Darnold. We've seen it all across the league now. I think we have more examples than ever of guys that didn't really hit in their first situation, environment, coach, and they bounce around the league, and then all of a sudden they're in the right situation finally, and they blossom. So it really has to do with Kevin O'Connell. It has to do with a testament to him and the adjustments that he makes too. I mean, the fact that Justin Jefferson is still as productive as he is, despite the entire league knowing he is the best receiver, is incredible. Best receiver in the league, by the way, not just the Minnesota Vikings. This is the best receiver in the NFL. You know defenses are for him, and they still aren't able to shut him down. That has everything to do with the scheme that Kevin O'Connell has dreamed up and continues to evolve. He finds ways to get Justin Jefferson open as well as all of the rest of the guys. He stresses defenses in ways that are really hard to counter. And I can't say enough about Kevin O'Connell. I could go on and on and on about him. He's also a really great guy. I got to talk to him for like an hour at the Super Bowl one time. And it was just like, we were just randomly at an agency party and walk up to him, and he was, couldn't be nicer, is very plugged in, really knows what's going on. He knew an incredible experience. He's a wonderful guy, wonderful coach. Can't say enough about him.
I've had this like working theory and thesis, and I should probably actually make it a thesis. Like, I've been working on the whole like quarterback development thing. And I agree with you. I think environment is maybe more important than even skills because of what happens to some of these guys when they end up with the wrong coaches. And I look at what he did with the quarterbacks last year, and I look at what's happening with Darnold. Darnold was a joke. Like, he was someone that you would make jokes about, the Sam Darnold and seeing ghosts and all of this stuff. And then you look up 8 of the 10 games this year, he's had a passer rating over 100. He's played really good football. And that's a testament to the learning process. And I think it's so underrated in the NFL. And you see it all the time where quarterbacks end up in spots where there isn't an effective teacher there. And then they fail and people go, well, this guy's a bust. Well, maybe that's not what happened. Maybe what happened is you had a teacher who didn't give them what they needed to succeed. And every time, it doesn't seem to matter which quarterback it is, from the least talented to the most talented. When I'm watching Kevin O'Connell, I'm watching a guy who understands how to teach.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting too, because you go back to after Kirk Cousins went down last year and you had a rotation of quarterbacks under center, quarterbacks of all different kinds of skill sets too. Some quarterbacks like Josh Dobbs, who had just gotten there 3 days prior, didn't know the names of his receivers. And you have Kevin O'Connell out there, doesn't have time to teach. So he just goes and plays live action Madden. When he's like, he's in the headset, it cuts off, 15 seconds before the play clock, but he is using that entire time to not only relay the play call, but in the case of Josh Dobbs that first game where he wasn't even supposed to start, but Jaren Hall goes down with the concussion, Josh Dobbs doesn't know the play calls. He doesn't know the names of all of this stuff. He's been there 3 days. So it's Kevin O'Connell having to explicitly tell him, okay, these are your reads. This is the guy you go to first. If you can at all help it, try to get it to this guy. He should be open. He should be your hot read. He is trying to relay so much information in the seconds that he has before that the headset cuts off. It was so incredibly impressive. So not only is he a really excellent teacher, because he's been there before. Kevin O'Connell was a quarterback. And he was a humble quarterback too. I think that's the funniest thing too. I don't know if you saw this. The Minnesota Vikings have a little series on social media where Josh Metellus goes around the locker room and he asks his teammates, his coaches, like all these really funny questions. So the last one was, what was your welcome to the NFL moment? And he gets Kevin O'Connell to like do all of this with him. And so I think Kevin O'Connell's been a part of almost all of them. And so Kevin O'Connell's answer to this was, he was on the Patriots practice squad backing up Tom Brady, but not even backing up. Like, I think he was like third or fourth string or whatever. And so it's his first training camp. He gets it to the huddle. He's fumbling through a bunch of play calls and Randy Moss is in the huddle and he just goes, oh, hell no. And he gets out of the huddle and goes off to the side and is like, I'm not playing with this dude. I am too old. I am too good. I refuse to have to do this. And like Kevin O'Connell said, that was his welcome to the NFL moment. So he never really had like the payoff. So I think all he knows is the process, which ends up working out really well if you're a coach. There's so much that matters, not only about how your coach can teach you and being able to adapt that teaching style to each player and know that each player learns differently, because that is true. That's just who we are as humans. It doesn't matter if you're an athlete or whatever, everybody learns differently. And the really good coaches and the really good teachers understand that, which Kevin O'Connell really does. But then it's also about the environment that you're in, just from the sense of, is this coach on the hot seat? Are they coaching for their jobs? Do you have the right amount of resources within the building, whether that's, you know, certain technology to be able to go through plays and in the meeting rooms and stuff like that, or the right nutrition like director and the way that the organization prioritizes fueling your body correctly and all that kind of stuff, the sports science stuff behind all of that. That's all up to the head coach usually to bring that all in as well. So you have to have this all-encompassing environment that is, that fosters the learning that you're trying to accomplish with these guys. That's something that no one ever talks about, is just kind of the other parts of the organization that aren't necessarily forefront when you're talking about coaching and stuff, but that the head coach does control. That's why a lot of these guys too, when they get to these head coaching roles, it's kind of like you're a deer in the headlights, because all of a sudden you're responsible for all of the logistical decisions and all of the decisions on who to staff and the resources that you need, and trying to get that from ownership, which isn't always easy, trying to justify all of that kind of stuff. So that can't go by the wayside. We need to be talking about that more too. And that's something that Kevin O'Connell and Minnesota, clearly they're all on the same page. He's on the same page with Kwesi Adofu-Mensah, his general manager. That doesn't always happen. We need to look at it from like a holistic perspective. And it's not talked about enough. And Kevin O'Connell's not talked about enough.
It's funny that you said that, because Olin Krutz broke it down so beautifully when we were doing pregame last week. He said, everyone who works for an organization in the NFL, you can just change everyone's title to player development. The chef, player development. The nutritionist, player development. The weight room guy, player development. All of those things go into the holistic process of bringing a player along. I thought it was a really fascinating point of view, and it speaks exactly to what you're saying. I want to ask you about Brian Flores. He's like the scariest, like when you hear your team's getting ready to play a Brian Flores led defense, it's scary. Why is that?
He challenges traditional defensive roles and player roles. Like, his players and his positions do not behave as you expect them to all the time. I think that that's what's so scary. And that's the reason that, I mean, he was very aggressive last year and, you know, he just blitzed the hell out of people. But this year you see this kind of, you see the chess match, and it's because his players understand the system. It can be very complex. And I had the opportunity to sit down with him before his first season and talk to him about what his philosophies are as far as installing a system, what makes it go. He puts a lot on the players, and that takes a little bit of time to really take hold, which is why I said last year I thought this was going to take a little bit of time to kind of really gel. And that's what you're seeing this year, because the guys are responsible for so much. The linebackers and safeties, especially in this system, are charged with, his defenses act like offenses, where there are audibles, there are checks, there are things that if the player sees, they can say, all right, no, we're switching this, this, and this. And that's why you see linebackers and safeties, who are the back two levels of the defense, being the ones to kind of orchestrate this whole thing. Flo told me, he was like, ideally, I'm not the one making some of these calls because I'm not on the field. I can't see the problems that these other teams are presenting from that perspective. I want to just equip my guys with the tools and the solutions for the problems that they're facing. And again, that's a lot to think about in a fraction of a second when you're trying to adjust to the offense, especially if there's some motion attached to that. And like the looks, when the offense first gets out there and you see a 3-by-1 formation, you're like, okay, we're setting our protection or our defense to this. Well, then if that player motions over and now you're facing a 2-by-2 formation, that changes things for a defense. And are you equipped with the ability to make those calls and make those changes? And that's what Brian Flores does with his players. And then, not to mention, you've got 35-year-old Harrison Smith. I always use this example because it never fails to amaze me. 35-year-old Harrison Smith is like creeping up on the line of scrimmage, but then you think, oh, it's going to be a safety blitz. That's what's happening. He's going to rush. No, he goes and covers the deep half. Like, he is covering so much ground And he's like, he can do that because he knows he's anticipating certain things and he can just kind of anticipate that based on what the offense is kind of giving him there. But like, you're not supposed to be able to see a 35-year-old safety do that. Or like Andrew Van Ginkle has been the single best addition, him and Blake Cashman, to this defense this year. They have made such a tremendous impact because, again, they are kind of a positionless player. Andrew Van Ginkle, you think, oh, he's an edge rusher. No, he's not. He'll drop into coverage, or he'll motion across the formation and he'll attack a different side. It's incredible to see just kind of the way that Brian Flores moves these pieces around. And then if you're a guy who's never seen stuff like this before, if you're I don't think it's a coincidence that like the younger quarterbacks that go against Brian Flores fare the worst because they just have never seen players do the things that he's asking his players to.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
There. Which brings us to this week. Overall, I'd love to know what you think of what's happened with the Bears. And I know that like you don't have all day, but what do you think has happened with the firing of Shane Waldron, the promotion of Thomas Brown, and how that affects Caleb Williams?
Yeah. What I didn't see the first 10 weeks of the season under Shane Waldron was, again, kind of making things simple while not making them too predictable. So I keep going back to this because it was a stat I found last week, and it was something that I felt like was really indicative of what was going wrong. You can't boil it down to one thing, and this isn't the only thing by any stretch of the imagination, but if you look at the coaching tree with which Shane Waldron comes from, Thomas Brown comes from, it's that they worked under McVay in Los Angeles for the Rams. This Shanahan-McVay system has the same core concepts, but McVay operates differently than Shanahan does. McVay's offenses live almost exclusively in 11 personnel, which is one running back, one tight end, three wide receivers, right? And they don't really vary that personnel set at all. But what they do is then they put a bunch of window dressing on it so it doesn't always look the same. They add a lot of pre-snap motion, or they'll do certain shifts and stuff like that where it's designed to give the quarterback some information about how the defense is playing them. It's designed to get them some leverage. It's to test the safety's eyes, to test, you know, how the defense is presenting itself, all that kind of stuff. You can get so much information and you can really gain an edge by using that pre-snap motion. And I'm like, all right, let's look at what the Bears are doing this year through the first 10 weeks under Shane Waldron. Especially with a young quarterback, you want to get him as much information pre-snap as you possibly can. Are the Bears using motion? Well, the eye test would tell you no. And sure enough, the stats back that up. The Bears were using motion at the third lowest rate in the league. And yet, they were trotting out 11 personnel, which again, very indicative of a Sean McVay system, at the 11th highest rate in the league. So they're not varying their personnel sets just like Sean McVay does, but they're also not utilizing pre-snap motion. And so you're not giving Caleb Williams any of the information that he really needs. So all of that information then comes at him as soon as the ball is snapped, when he has 2 seconds to figure out where he needs to go with things. He can't see running lanes. He can't see his progressions. He can't get through his reads. He can't do any of that. None of those adjustments were made, and he did not have that information. Well, then you have Thomas Brown come in. And what happens? You see, again, the eye test tells you they did a lot more pre-snap motion, so much so that the Bears incurred multiple motion, illegal motion penalties, illegal shift, I think, and illegal motion earlier on in that game. And you're like, man, these guys aren't used to this because, like, that's not what they've been doing. And then sure enough, the Bears had, I think they were, like, they were fourth in 11 personnel usage, but then they had the third highest rate of motion through the Sunday night games. And you're like, oh. So now you're getting Caleb Williams more information, and you heard him talk about stuff like at the podium. He talked directly about what motion does for him, what that pre-snap motion does for him. But also, you're like, hey, you ran the ball a lot. Was that intentional? Did Thomas Brown kind of tell you to, like, just tuck the ball and run when you have those lanes? And he's like, no, that wasn't an intentional thing. I just noticed more running lanes opening up for me, so I just took them. And I'm like, well, why did you notice more running lanes open up for you? Oh, because you had more information pre-snap. You knew where that was going to be. And given how you were seeing the defense adjust to what your offense was doing. So again, you can't boil it down to just that. There were a lot of other issues, but things like that, disconnects like that, I think played a huge role into why this wasn't working. And again, giving Caleb Williams all of this responsibility, the full playbook, all of that kind of stuff, and asking him to process all of that at NFL speeds that he's not used to against defenses he's never seen, that wasn't a recipe for success. Just go look at Washington to see how that worked out for Jaden Daniels, because he was given time to acclimate. He was eased into things. The first 4 weeks of the season, he had like the fourth lowest average depth of target of any quarterback compared to the next 4 weeks. Then he opened it up. Now he's confident. Now he feels like he's got it. Now he's got the timing down. He's got the rapport with his receivers. And he's opening up now the full breadth of that offense. And sure, his completion percentage goes down a little bit, but his productivity goes up. I don't know.
I think that you nailed it. Like, the horizontal nature of what Washington was doing in the first 4 weeks. Like, it was, that's why I was telling people, like, don't freak out about Caleb, because you could see that what they were doing is, this is a system that he was pretty used to at both Arizona State and LSU. And so it was a little horizontal. But anytime that they asked him to go vertical, he hit those throws and he made the big plays to McLaurin. And that, they, you're right, like, they eased him into this, and now they can add on. So my hope is that this is kind of where the Bears are now to really explore what Caleb Williams has in his arsenal of possibilities. And when you see some of the throws he can make, it's tantalizing what might be. So I heard you with our friends over at CHSN, and I was saying amen, hallelujah, because they were like, all right, let's make a pick. And you were like, I don't really make picks. And I was like, I don't really make picks either. But
I don't like it.
I'd love to know what you think the Vikings will try to do against Caleb Williams and the offense.
Brian Flores is going to try to confuse the F out of him. Like, it's just, that's exactly, because that's what he does. Again, he tests your eye discipline. He challenges what you think players are going to do based on what position they play. I really expect there to be a lot, like, he does a lot of movement up front with his defensive line, a lot of simulated pressure, stuff like that, where you think guys are coming, then they drop back. Disguises coverages very, very well as well. And I think that that's the biggest thing too, that you're going to see is, all right, you're going to think it's a cover two, and then all of a sudden they shift down, it's cover three, or it's man, or like whatever it is, the way that he's able to kind of manipulate that, where you can't really judge what you're going against, as far as usually quarterbacks look at the safety, right, to figure out, all right, is he up, is he down, what's happening, and that's how they know what coverage it's going to be. That pre-snap motion can tell you whether it's man or zone. If, you know, if a defender travels with your guy in motion, all right, man coverage, cool. That's not exactly how Brian Flores operates, or he knows how to not operate in that way. So I do feel like he's going to do as much as he can to confuse Caleb Williams, but then also I expect him to be really aggressive and try to overload that offensive line, knowing that they've had some issues this year. Now both tackles are back. They played much better this last game, despite not having Tevin Jenkins in the lineup, but he hasn't really finished a game anyway. So it's like, one of those things where does that matter as much? I think Ryan Bates, we're going to need, like, he's going to need to be back. I know he went out in that game, came back in. He was kind of the one that didn't totally play the whole game. But I do think Ryan Bates was a huge piece that the Bears were banking on having that they didn't have to start the season because of the injury. So if you have all those guys, it's really going to be up to the offensive line to hold it. And they're not, you can't ask Caleb Williams though either to hold the ball a ton. You need to give him those quick outs. You need to give him some hot reads because there are going to be guys coming unblocked. You need to just kind of make sure that he's really good at evading pressure. Just don't make some bad decisions when you're on the run. You know, Caleb Williams wants the home run ball when he's on the run because he was able to do that in college. I think we saw him pull back a little bit on that this last week against the Packers. I would pull back again on that as well against the Vikings because, again, you just don't know how these guys really operate and who's really covering that zone necessarily. And when you're on the run, that takes away a lot. So unless you're really trusting your receiver and you're definitely on the same page as them, I would just try to, you know, I think running the ball really, like, you could try to run the ball a lot more, get that going, try to give Brian Flores' defense as much as you can to contend with by staying multiple, all that kind of stuff, because it's going to be a tough test. And I fully expect Brian Flores to, you know, want to give Caleb Williams that welcome to the NFL moment, even if he hasn't had it yet.
That is the truth. You should check out what Carmen is doing on Fox Sports, foxsports.com, and Fox Sports Radio. You're the absolute goods. Thank you so much for this. I truly appreciate it. This is always fun. Like, you and I need to do more football summits. Like, we need to just, like, throw the camera on, throw the recorder on, and just talk ball, because you're one of my favorite people to talk ball with.
Thanks. I love it. It's an obsession. And when I worked for the Buccaneers, it was the thrill of my life to be able to learn from NFL coaches and learn from the source. It's the reason that I am so studied and learned in some of this stuff, because clearly I didn't play the game, but I've been around it for more than 15 years at this point, and I've gotten to learn from some of the best. So it's so much fun talking ball with fellow football nerds.
Hey, you didn't play the game, but you got a Super Bowl ring. That's all I'm going to say.
I do. It's right over there.
Thanks for this. I'll be in touch, and you are awesome. And I am rooting for your Arizona State Sun Devils to find their way. I know you're stressed. Don't let them stress you.
Well, that's never going to happen. But I call him Denny Killingham because he be killing them.
He do be killing them. That's for sure. He do be killing them. Thanks, Carvin.
Bye, Lawrence.
That was so dope. I appreciate you so much. Do me a favor. Text me your Venmo.
Why?
Because I'm going to pay you.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I own a media company, and I like to pay people, especially when they go over the time that I tell them that we were going to have. So text me your Venmo, and I'm going to put this out probably, maybe tonight, but probably tomorrow morning.
Cool.
All right.
We'll amplify it.
Absolutely. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you.
Bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Gamers and watch lovers, stay frosty. We've got covert intel. Movement, the official timekeeper of the highly anticipated Call of Duty Black Ops 6, is releasing a special edition Black Ops 6 watch and accessory collaboration. Bring the aesthetics of the Black Ops 6 story straight to your wrist and wardrobe. It even arrives with custom packaging and a free gift. Shop the exclusive special edition collaboration at MVMT.com/BO6. That's MVMT.com/BO6.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.